Exodus chapter 12. One of our son's childhood friends enlisted in the Marine Corps a few years ago. He had wanted to join the Corps while he was in high school, went to college for a couple years with Ryan, and talked his parents into their blessing to let him join the Corps. So we followed his journey through boot camp. And of course, the purpose of boot camp, it's to break the individual and make that person a Marine. Can I get a hoo-ha from you, Terry? Hoo-ha? There you go. The harsh conditions and treatment are necessary to make the recruit the fighting man that the Corps wants him to be. I can imagine that that's what's taking place here in Israel. The nation begging for deliverance can't just get a quick get-out-of-jail-free card. Israel had to go through its own boot camp. Don't think for a moment that Israel was not affected by the nine plagues. They were affected by the first four or five plagues, but not all ten that preceded this chapter. There's over 400 years, however, of pagan influence over this nation. 400 plus years of Ra worshiping, which was the Egyptian sun god, which the plague of darkness proved him to be powerless. Remember that each of the plagues targeted an Egyptian god and convinced the Israelites that perhaps, and perhaps some of the Egyptians, that those gods were nothing and that Jehovah was the one true God. Israel had to be broken and recreated into the people that God wanted them to be, the same way that Marine recruit is broken and recreated. We'd like to think that the nine plagues were enough. Like to think that nine would convince both parties it's in the best interest just to let Israel go. There was one final plague, however, one last plague that challenged the deity of Pharaoh himself. Remember, Pharaoh held the life of Israel in his hands, so he thought, when he ordered the slaughter of thousands of Israelite babies. But this last plague will break Pharaoh himself as his own child will die. This final plague would prove to be so devastating that the Israelites were told that deployment was going to be imminent. After 430 years, Israel's redemption would be swift and complete. And even though we're a New Testament church, the Passover is about a blood being shed in order for redemption to take place. And as a New Testament church, we need to understand that this atonement that's described in Exodus 12 needs to impact certain aspects and walks in our life that we would have never considered. So let's consider the first six verses, and we'll spend some time in the remainder of the year in Exodus chapter 12 to see what God has to say to us. Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month every man shall take a lamb, according to their father's houses, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbors shall take according to the number of persons, according to what each can eat, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight." Lord, as we consider your word this morning, that there'll be some truths in here that we need to think about as applies to our life. Lord, that you would guide us to what those truths are. It may not come from me, it may come from your spirit. Something that maybe our soul interacts with your word that shows us something that we need to consider differently about you. a change in our life, and a change in our walk. So bless our time in your word, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, there's three things I want us to consider as we consider the first six verses of this chapter. And the first one is in the form of a question. Does God control your calendar? Does God control your calendar? Nowadays, we can do a lot with calendars, more than we ever imagined. We can set notifications and alarms that tell us months or even years out in advance of an event that we need to be at, we need to participate in. A couple of months ago, I had set a notice on a calendar. Because, you know, once a year, I go down to Raleigh, the city town hall, and I give the invocation. I just do it once a year. And I get the notice, I sign up, or I call in for a certain date. And so I had completely forgotten about it. And then a calendar notification went off while I was at Southeastern studying. So I'm in there studying, and it goes off an hour before I'm supposed to be there. And I had missed last year's. So I think, I got to go. They'll never invite me again. And so here I am. And at least I had a collared shirt on, in jeans, where, of course, everyone in the town council, they're all dressed up. And I had to pack up my stuff and drive down there, give the invitation, and come back, too. So, but if it wasn't for that notification, I wouldn't have made it. But I should have given myself more than an hour. So. But you can do all kinds of stuff. No need. I know some probably carry a planner around, too, but there's all kind of apps for calendars, too. Now, verse 2 and 3 here mark a new event on the Jewish calendar that is dictated by the Passover and the Atonement. Look at verse 2 again there, too. This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first of the year for you. Now, society, we have many calendars. There's a calendar, you know, we have a calendar year, January to December. Of course, you have an academic calendar that is from September to June or August to May, whatever, you know, usually colleges follow a different calendar. Perhaps where you work at, there may be a fiscal year where a calendar maybe goes from like July to June. Some businesses have that. Now, the Jewish people were no different. They had an agricultural calendar, and they also had a civil calendar. However, God steps in a critical time and tells Israel, I've got something new for you, for your calendar. This is the first and new beginning. Let me ask you a question. Where is God on your calendar? You see, what God is telling the Israelite people through Moses and Aaron, it says, I'm going to give you an event. There's going to be an event that's going to be, it's a calendar event that's going to be new in your calendar, and this is going to remind you about me. This is going to begin a new life for you, this new calendar event. Where is Jesus on your calendar or your agenda? When you look at verses 2 and 3, God was teaching Israel to link, listen to this, God was teaching Israel to link their measure of time to his calling on their lives. What God is doing is he's teaching Israel to link their measure of time, in this case the calendar or the watch, to his calling on their lives. Is God linked to your calendar and clock? God has decided that history determines the calendar, and in particular the history of God's saving act of Exodus does so. This calendar event that God is giving them was to remind them how they became a new person. Each glance of the calendar will remind them that God redeemed them and redeemed us, especially during this March, April time of year, the month of Nisan, as it was called here. This calendar event was to remind them that today I became a new person. I become a new creature each Sunday. You know, each Sunday, I put something on the bulletin that reminds us that we have this Lord's Supper. Plenty of notice to approach the table, remember what the Lord has done on the cross. And I want to challenge you today, as Ken and David are distributing the elements, and as we sit quietly, that you remember, just like Israel did, when you became a new person. Israel was becoming a new person here. God is telling Israel, you're going to become, I'm giving you a calendar event. Mark this in your calendars. This is when you become a new person. And as we do each month here too, and as we'll do in a moment too, I would like to challenge you as we consider the elements too, that this will remind you that moment when you became a new person. For me, it was when I was in a principal's office in elementary school. The principal thought I was going to get in trouble, wound up leading me to Christ. May have been in your home or in a church, a Bible study, but at one point in your life, you went from the old life to a new life found in Christ. So when you look at the bulletin, you see the Lord's Supper at the beginning of each month here. Let that remind you of your new beginning with Christ. Let that be a reminder. Let this what we do here. We remember what Christ did. He died on the cross for us. But let it also remind you that, you know what? On this day, I became a Christian, just as it did with Israel. The second thing I want us to remember or to ponder is that our redemption is to be shared. Pick up again. I'm going to do a lot of reading again over in this passage here too. But let's look at 3. Tell all the congregation of Israel, then the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's houses, a lamb for his household. If the household is too small for the lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons, according to what each can eat, you shall make your count for the lamb. So let's step inside a Jewish home for a moment, if you would. 4 days out from this 10th plague, you pick a male lamb or goat. Now, according to Exodus 22, this could be as young as 8 days. Or it could be up to a year old. So this was done. All this is taking place, so it's called during the lambing season. So you can imagine, and I need to describe it this way because this is how God deals with redemption, this idea of redemption. It gets ugly. So 4 days out, this lamb is brought into the house. Let's imagine a little lamb. Maybe let's say 8, 9, couple weeks old. You ever seen videos of little lambs? They're so cute. You pull it into his house and his family. You feed it. You care for it. You see little, sometimes they like, you know, they jump. They like to jump, and lambs and goats too. They like to jump on platforms and mounds, and that's how they do their domineering thing. And the kids get attached to it, and it gets attached to the kids. The kids are chasing it around, and they're chasing it around too. Then on the 14th day, 4 days after becoming attached to this thing, hearing the bleeding overnight, it's up for sacrifice. This reminds me of Jesus. You know, Jesus could have been sent to earth, fulfilled his duties, went to the cross. But just like that lamb, he spent time with us. Like that little lamb, he bonded with his people that he came in contact with. Christ had a mother and siblings and cousins and followers who he was attached to and who attached himself to him. Let me ask you a question. How close are you to the Lamb of God? Have you invited Christ, the Lamb, into your house? The Latin term for Lamb of God, Agnus Dei, is greater than the Old Testament sacrifice because he accomplished for an eternity what the Lamb could only do for a year. Have we invited that lamb? The same way that Jewish family would have taken that lamb or that goat into the house and fallen in love with it, and then it would become sacrificed. Have we done the same thing? Have we made Christ, the Lamb of God, into our house? Have we fallen in love with that lamb that would die for us? Verse 4 reminds me of the love feast that the early church had in the memorial of the Lord's Supper. Remember, we kind of covered this a few years ago. The wealthy Christians would gorge themselves at the expense of the poor Christians who were kept outside the arboretum area of the household. So look at four one more time. And the household, if the household is too small for the lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons, according to what each can eat. you shall make your count for the lamb. So if Joy and I, we have, let's say that Joy and I have a lamb, and it's just the two of us. And so there's more lamb than the both of us can eat. And so then our neighbor is Terry. Well, Terry doesn't really have enough even for himself. And so we say, Terry, come over here. I want you to share the lamb with us too. That's what was taking place in these households there too. The command here is if you wind up with a lamb that is too small for your family, then your neighbor who has too much lamb will share it with you, distributing the meat until everyone had their fill and there was no more lamb left. The lamb was to be finished completely. That is a reminder that the perfect lamb was the complete atonement of our salvation. When you see that this idea here, and as it talks about in verse 4 here, that there was no leftover lamb. There was no leftover there too. There was the idea of completion. The lamb completed our atonement. The concept, of course, of sharing gives a sense of solidarity among Christians. No one was intended to miss out on the meal. This meal was a symbol of the Messiah, broken for all. Leftovers do not symbolize unity as members of one body. The purpose of the Passover, remember, the purpose of the Passover was to point people to Christ. Have you noticed the number of 10 used here? There was 10 plagues. The 10th day, the lamb was taken. And that number 10, it signifies completion. My takeaway from this verse is just as it is for the others, the lamb was to be shared during the Passover. We are to share Christ with others around us. Just as the lamb was shared when there was a lack from one family and perhaps too much for another, it was to be shared. There was no lamb to be kept under tinfoil as leftovers. This might look like sharing the message of Christ, which being what John the Baptist described as the lamb who takes away the sins of the world. It might be sharing what Christ has done for us, what Christ has taught us, but the lamb was not to be kept for ourselves. The sacrifice was to be shared with those who had a deficiency. Let's be sharing Christ when the opportunity gives us those moments. We had a wonderful time this past Sunday night with Converting Heart guys. And it's really enjoy those Sunday nights. And the guys like it too. They often tell me how much they appreciate us opening up our church to them and feeding them and all that stuff too. And it's really interesting just to listen to him talk about what Christ has done in their lives, just through their recovery. And even just this past Sunday too, just to take an opportunity and share Christ in a gospel message so they know that it's not an addiction recovery ministry. It's not a drug addiction recovery ministry that gets them saved. They don't get saved by that. They get saved by what the Lamb of God did on the cross. But only Jesus can save them. The third and last thing that we need to consider is our redemption is to be perfect. The Passover lamb or kid goat had to be perfect like Christ. It had nothing to do with the quality of meat, but reminded the people that properly relating to God requires perfection. The Paschal lamb had to be perfect because we cannot be perfect. I told the Converting Heart guys, I said, listen guys, there are no scales, balancing scales in heaven. There's no 49% bad, 51% good gets you in. There's nothing like that that exists in heaven. Now the end of the verse 6 there, let's read 5 and 6 before we plow on here. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male year old. You shall take it from the sheep and from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the month when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. Now I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself here too, but the full moon would be enough to provide light for the Exodus to take place. When you give your life to the Lamb of God, you leave your former life immediately. So imagine this is taking place. 10th plague is taking place. And Pharaoh, in a moment of passion, is going to say, get out of my land. Just get out. there's no waiting for morning. They have a full moon. That's why, you know, the full moon is a part of why we celebrate Easter. That way they have a full moon. When it's time to get out, they've got the full moon to walk out. They ain't waiting until morning. They have to leave their former life. They have to leave Egypt immediately. No time for second guessing when you become a Christian. There's no turning back. Imagine, if you would, over 600,000 Israelites making preparation for a mass exodus. I wonder if they're thinking, we wanted to be delivered but not leave Egypt. When you become a Christian, you cannot remain in the same place. We have to get out of our Egypt, and Egypt has to get out of us. What can we take away from this? Let God have your calendar and your watch. In a few moments, we'll take the Lord's Supper here. Let that be a new beginning for your week, for the month, just as it was for Israel. The time when that you reflect, what did Jesus do for me? That salvation that he provided for me. Picture him on the cross. Picture that there too. And remember, this is the beginning of my life, that salvation. Of course, Christ was intended to be shared just as the Lamb was intended to be shared. So let's be sharing Christ with those who have a deficit of Christ-like faith. Let's be sharing Christ. The third and final thing, new beginnings should cause us to abandon our old ways of life. Before the Passover, Israel could not leave. But after the Passover, they could not stay. And so the Passover too, it marks the beginning. It's not just a sacrifice. It's not just getting out too. It marks a new way of life. It's a new beginning for these people. And that's what Christ's sacrifice, that the Lamb of God does for us. It's a new beginning in our lives that we need to escape and constantly be leaving the life that Christ has called us away to, that our salvation provides a way out of too. And I hope today, as we take the elements too, that we'll be pondering and thinking about, okay, what are some ways that I need to be leaving this life that God has called me to leave? The sacrifice that Christ has made for us too, what is the new beginning for me that I need to start fresh come Monday morning? Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this time that we have together just to consider your word. Lord, I pray that as we think about this atonement, that it will cause us to start a new life. Father, we're constantly dying to our flesh. I pray, Father, that you would be important component in our calendar, that we would remember that day when we came to know the Lord. Lord, I pray that you would just bless our time as we continue to worship and as we remember what your Son did in the cross. In Jesus' name, amen.